Hi, I'm Monsignor Jim LaSanti. This week on Personally Speaking, our guest is Christopher Bell. Everybody talks about somebody ought to do something somewhere to make the world a better place. And then there's people like Chris Bell, who through good council homes actually is making a difference every day for the good. Please stay with us. Hello and welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti, and Christopher Bell, the president and executive director of Good Council Homes, joins me now. In 1979, Chris Bell was working and living at Covenant House in Times Square, a ministry for homeless youth, when he realized that homeless, pregnant women were in dire need of help. Together with Father Benedict Rochelle, they founded what would be called Good Council, which started in a former convent in Hoboken, New Jersey, on March 10, 1983. Chris studied scripture in Rome and has a post-master's degree in family counseling from Iona College. He has a master's degree in religious education and counseling from St. Joseph's Seminary and a bachelor's degree from the University of Bridgeport in journalism, communications, and international relations. He's married to Joan Andrews Bell and they're parents of seven children, six of whom are adopted. Chris is here with us today to talk about his life, his Catholic faith, his family, and the Good Counsel Ministry, which helps homeless pregnant women in need. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome back to Personally Speaking our good friend, Christopher Bell. Chris Bell is our guest. We've talked about him and Good Counsel Homes before. We're delighted to have him back. Chris, thanks for being a guest on Personally Speaking.
It's great to be here, Monsignor.
Now, I got to ask you, Chris, you and I go back a long, long time, and I am forever grateful to, for those of you who are watching the program on YouTube, right behind me is a picture of Nick and Seal, my wonderful parents, who I pray are in heaven. And for those who don't know, Chris had a similar relationship with Russell and Louise Bell, his wonderful parents, who I had the privilege of knowing. I know that much of who I am is because of the parents who formed and shaped me. When Chris Bell looks back on his life at the contribution made by Louise and Russell Bell to making you the man that you are today, the person you are, when you look back, what did they do to help you be Chris?
That's a beautiful question, and I always appreciate your look at family life like that, Monsignor Jim. Dad was a convert to the faith, but he wasn't a fervent convert. He became a Catholic to marry my mom, and back in 1947, that's what he did. And as I look back, and even as my siblings talk about it, he loved Louise so much. He would have done anything for her. He gave up a boxing career. He placed in the Golden Gloves. He was going to go pro, and then they drafted him. And he took his patriotism to heart. He went into the service and came back and still wanted to fight, but fell in love and then decided family and hard work. Hard work. And when I would go with him, he fixed washing machines, dryers. This was a day and age in the 50s, 60s, 70s when the man would come to the door to fix your machine, right?
Yes, imagine.
I went with him, carried his toolbox, and I know we'd go into some very poor neighborhoods and apartments, in Queens. He worked on Long Island and Queens, and he sometimes, would write out the bill, and I'd say, "Dad, they look very poor." He says, "Don't worry about it. I'm not going to worry about the bill." He just knew some people could afford it, some couldn't. He was dirt poor, by the way. He grew up. His mother died when he was eight. His father wasn't a great provider, so he was picking cotton. He always talked about, you got to go pick cotton for some afternoon. That's a tough job, in Texas. That's where he was comes from, and. He just knew hard work and love your family, and he did believe in God. But I think as he got older, his soul developed a lot more in terms of, faith.
Chris Bell is our guest, as being one of the things the church supports and loves is a work that has been important to Chris called the Good Counsel Homes. Now, I think before you tell us all about what you're attempting to do with Good Counsel Homes, I should mention that it's amazing to me how quickly we are all of us passing through this mortal coil, and very often great people we have known and loved get a little bit forgotten in time, which is too bad, because one of the people that you and I had the privilege of knowing and you work with closely was Father Benedict Rochelle. Yeah. And I just want to know, how did you meet him, and how did the two of you come to say there's a need and create this wonderful world we call Good Counsel Homes?
Well, some people are saying I'm starting to look like him now with this. So Father Benedict, interestingly enough, I knew nothing about him. And in 1980, it was either right about this time, late January, early February, he came, like you, to celebrate Mass on 8th Avenue, you know, and Times Square, across from the Cameo porno movie theater, and, you know, on the Strip, the Minnesota Strip. And at that time, when priests were coming to celebrate Mass, they always were so laudatory about this relatively small group of volunteers, you know, working with a lot of paid staff, but small volunteers dedicating their life, you know, getting $10 a week to work here and praying together. And they'd always say how great we were. Well, the day he came, it was the worst day I had at that shelter, because a kid I was trying to help came in. He was in an area he wasn't supposed to be in. He took a swing at me. He didn't hit me, but, you know, he started to get rough, and the other staff jumped on him, and he got what we call carded, so he couldn't get any services. I felt terrible. And then the staff member who really rustled him down got fired. I mean, it was like the worst of worst. Everybody was like too overboard. And I was just feeling terrible. And so I look at this friar with a beard and a robe on. I say, if he tells us we're good, I'm going to throw up. Okay. So the short story is, he didn't say that. He said, you guys, you know, you see pictures of St. John Bosco, you know, with little kids around him and angels. He said, he didn't deal with those kinds of kids. They weren't nice kids. They were tough kids. They were like your kids. And then I thought, he understands. And then after Mass, he gave us a little talk on the spiritual life. And Monsignor, this is what it goes back to, one of the days I kind of went off the rails. I actually took transcendental meditation as a teenager because I was looking for a spiritual life. Yeah. And I'm sorry to say, you know, even at the wonderful local parish that I would go to, you don't hear about the spiritual life. And so I was going off on, you know, this Eastern meditation. And then Father Benedict, in less than an hour, explained the three ways of the spiritual life, how there's a long Catholic tradition, how, you know, we have these monks today. And I'm saying, oh, my heavens, it's like the world opened up to me that I never know. So from then, I became very close to him. I started to go to his conferences. I visited him up at Trinity Retreat House that he ran. And from that beginning, he became my spiritual director. And then I saw a problem, because I wound up staying in Times Square, not 1 year, but five. I saw how God was giving me more and more. You know, you try to give a little bit back to God, he just gives you so much more. He's never outdone in generosity.
Right.
And so I said, Father Benedict, all these women and children are coming in. I didn't expect to see women who were pregnant or had babies, and they can only go to welfare hotels. They can't go back to school. The girls were telling me they wanted to work. They wanted to better their lives, but there wasn't an opportunity. And in that morning prayer, I read in Psalm 68, God is father of the orphan, defender of the widow. God gives the lonely a home to dwell in. And I felt like he was talking to me, and he said, do something, help women and children. Now, I hadn't changed that many diapers, and I had a few nieces and nephews, but I wasn't that involved, and I really wasn't as good an uncle as I could have even been. So I did think it was strange, but I felt God was asking me to do that, and Father Benedict said, if you think so, I'll help you. And then I really became afraid because I thought, yeah, God was asking me to do this, and now how do I do it? And, you know, ignorance is bliss. And it's great to know what you don't know, or not to know what you don't know. And I just tried to follow what the Lord led me to do. Found an empty convent in Hoboken. Father Benedict came there and celebrated Mass. It was New Year's Eve in 1984. And in less than 3 months, we opened the doors and took in mothers and babies. And one thing led to another. Now we have four homes, three in New York State and two and one in New Jersey. But we have a national helpline, and we have a website in English and Spanish. So please, spread the word for any pregnant woman in need. You can go to goodcounselhomes.org, and you could find more than 230 maternity homes throughout the United States. You can call our national helpline, which is 24/7, 1-800-723-8331. And just, know, everybody has to know who's listening to us, that there is no place in the US where a woman in a crisis pregnancy, regardless of how she got pregnant, where she is, what are the circumstances, whether she's an immigrant, has mental health problems or an addiction, she can find help. And look at goodcounselhomes.org for more help. And there are many places right not far from you. And there are thousands of pregnancy centers. They're not homes, but they're there to give free material and emotional and even spiritual support.
Chris Bell is our guest, and that's a perfect segue, Chris, because here's what I'm mystified by, and let's see if you have any insight into this. So I'm pro-life, you're pro-life. Many millions of people in our country, including Catholics, call themselves pro-choice. But it's always seemed to me if you really are pro-choice, then obviously you support what you believe is a somehow or another state-given right to abort your child. But it would also seem to me that supporting choice also means that if a woman decides, no, I don't want to terminate my child. I want to embrace the choice to have the child. That if there are agencies like your own and homes like your own, or services of any kind that support a woman who makes the choice to have the child, that you would think that the pro-choicers would be happy about that. But in government, especially in places like New York and California, there seems to be at the highest levels, namely the attorney general of the state and the governor of the state, this kind of war on those who offer alternatives. Like, we're going to get in your way. We're going to investigate you. We're going to make sure that you're not doing anything illegal. When you know, and I know, that all these homes and alternative programs are just saying, if you want to have your baby, we're going to help you. I just have to understand, and I don't understand how the forces of the pro-choice leadership have decided to go after the homes for the unwed mother or those agencies that offer alternatives. Why in the world, if they call themselves pro-choice, would they oppose the woman who makes the choice to have the baby? Why would they ever make it difficult for guys like you?
Well, ultimately, I really don't know what's in somebody's heart and mind because I can't understand it any better than yourself. However, we might be able to say that if somebody wants to attack us who are trying to help others for free, then they must have another motive, and it's not about choice. And that other motive has to be that they really don't want more people born. They don't want certain types of people being born. Maybe that's why Planned Parenthood, the largest abortionist in the world, places their abortion mills closer to poor neighborhoods, minority neighborhoods, to colleges where they can really reel in young women who are in school and feeling away from their home and afraid. So they're not about choicing. They're about entrapping. And when you have government authorities funding and protecting the killing of innocent children without looking at the science at all, or willing to tell women how big the child is, the baby in the womb is, just informed consent, total real informed consent. When they're unwilling to do that, they have another agenda. And I know people don't like these analogies, but I have to say it's the same party that fought a civil war for slavery. It's the same party as a whole. Not that the other party is pure completely, but as a whole, that same party, they not only fought the civil war for slavery, but after they lost, what did they do? They enacted Jim Crow laws. They kept separate but equal alive. They fought right through, the 60s, as we remember very clearly. Any little attempt to integrate. Now they claim that they're the champions of integration and for minorities, when that's just a ruse. It doesn't take a lot of investigation to find out who is really on your side and who's not, who's giving you support and choices and who's not.
Thank you for that, Chris. It's honest, and I'm sure it will upset some people, but I think it's an honest assessment of how do you explain someone calling themselves pro-choice and actually limiting the choice of people who choose to give life. Now I want to move on to someone you and I both know, respect, and love, and that is your wife. So Joan Andrews, as I mentioned earlier in this program, is in jail right now. Why is she in jail? And specifically because she's a victim of this unjust law, and which is imposed by Mr. Biden and his folks, called FACE. What is FACE, and why is Joan suffering because of FACE?
The freedom to access clinic entries, and let's make no mistake about it, it's an abortion mill. The freedom to go into an abortion mill without anybody blocking your way, even peacefully, as was done in the civil rights movement, by sitting down and praying and singing hymns. That act was signed by President Bill Clinton to stop what was the largest, and still is the largest, civil rights movement of peaceful protesters in American history. And that was Operation Rescue. So that essentially ended in the 90s after FACE was signed. But there are still people throughout these years who were going in to the abortion mills to try to talk to women. And by and large, they weren't getting arrested. They would leave before the police came, or they'd leave when the police told them to leave. But my dear wife, Joan, and others knew of a third trimester abortionist. And when I say that, I say it that that's what he specializes in. He doesn't do women who are, 12 or 16 or even 20 weeks pregnant. He does the third trimester. They are very pregnant when they walk in his door. The procedure takes at least 3 days to kill the child in the womb and then to have it extracted. And this abortionist is recorded in an undercover recording, which you could find at liveaction.org. Cesare Sant'Angelo, he's recorded as saying, if the baby were born and still moving, he doesn't say alive, and he doesn't call it a baby, but he says, if this, fetus were still moving, if you were in a hospital, they would be forced to treat the child and do medical interventions. But he said, that wouldn't happen here. So don't have any worries that what you want, he's talking to a patient, a prospective patient, what you want won't be completed here. So
that baby, even if it gets born, is going to die.
That's right. It's infanticide. Yeah. And it doesn't only go on in Washington, D.C., where she and her and the others went into his office, into his waiting room. They literally sat down. They prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet. They sang hymns. And some of their members tried to talk to the women who were very pregnant to not go in until they were arrested. And given that this current administration wants to make an example, not just of this one act, but right now as we speak, there's a second trial going on in Nashville, Tennessee, of a similar group of people who did a similar act to try to stop an abortion in Tennessee. And there were two other trials about to take place. One, I believe, is in Texas. The other one, maybe Kentucky. And this administration is making a literal federal case to try to put all these peaceful, prayerful, nonviolent attempts to stop an abortion, put these people in jail for a very long time. Because some of the rescues that went on, even in the last 10 years, they were treated as trespassing. And you'd get, 30 or 90 days. We're talking now of years, and it could be up to 11 years. I don't know what the final outcome will be. Joan will not be sentenced until May 15th. And she's using this time in prison. People will be saying and asking, well, why would a mother and a grandmother want to be in jail? She doesn't want to be there, but she's using this time to pray and do reparation, you know, not only for our sins, personal sins, but certainly for the sin of abortion.
Chris, you know, Chris Bell is our guest, and we were talking about his good counsel homes, but now we're talking specifically about his wife, Joan Andrews, and others who are in jail because the Biden administration and the Justice Department have decided that their peaceful protests are unacceptable. Chris, you know and I know that there are people who essentially burnt down Minneapolis and St. Paul and Seattle and so many other places in fighting for Black Lives Matter. And the truth is, in most cases, they are not being seriously punished. And then you have somebody who stands up for the unborn child and is facing years in prison. The injustice of the situation screams to heaven. But you do have to wonder sometimes why people would impose such punishments on peaceful protesters. And I don't want to get all dark and scary on people listening and watching, but to me, you see the hand of the enemy, you see the hand of Satan in a government that says, we're not going to punish people who pillage and loot and burn down, but we are going to punish people who peacefully protest because they're on the wrong side of the life issues. I mention all that by way of saying there are some who would get so discouraged at the work of our government promoting the killing of unborn children and working against those who peacefully protest that they'd say, I just want to give up. This is such an evil world and Satan has such power. You don't give up and you don't lose hope. And I just want to know, Chris Bell, after all these years, what do you do with discouragement?
Well, I'm looking at over your shoulders a little statue of the Blessed Mother, and it looks very serene and peaceful and beautiful and pious, and I can't say I'm any of those things. But if you listen to any of your other colleagues, particularly those in the field of exorcism, they will tell you, yes, the devil has a lot of leeway today, especially in this country. You could say in the world, because there's a lot of overt evil and degradation and desecration going on that has not gone on. And my dear wife says it is worse now than when I was growing up. And I used to say to her, well, you know, historically there are good times and bad, and there's, you know, a pendulum that swings. But now I do have to admit these are really bad times. But why can we not give up? Well, number one, you can't give up because if you know and love the truth, you know, and you believe in God and you believe that Jesus Christ came to save us, he came into a really rough neighborhood. He, you know, the world was ruled by Rome and the Jews were at the bottom of the rung and they were slaves all over the empire and they had infanticide and, you know, everything that we're doing. Well, we're doing it on steroids because we have technology, but they were doing it. They were doing it. And what happened? It's the love that we have to bring in to conquer the evil. And you could see it too in the good families that you and I know, you know, loving mothers and fathers, loving single people who are sacrificially doing good for others, whether they're elderly or young. And I see a lot of young people who are willing, and some don't have what I'd call faith. Some are professed atheists, but they have a big heart and they're trying to save babies even. In fact, some of them are in jail with Joan right now. So, you know, I see a lot of good and it truly is love, great love. And what does love mean? And again, you know, you and I are old enough. It's not about the romanticism. It's sacrifice. It's a choice. I know you say this, you've said this a million times to young couples, your whole priesthood. You know, you try to bring the love out of them. And when they're young, it's beautiful and starry-eyed and flowers and candy. But you know you're planting seeds in there for them to grow old together, like our parents did. And that's real love. It's sacrifice. And so we have to sacrifice. And that's what reparation is. We have to give our pains and suffering and sometimes our freedom and maybe our lives.
I'm going to interrupt you, Chris, just to say for our listeners and viewers, because we're coming to the end of our time, Chris Bell has given his witness for many years. He continues to give it now. I hear all the time, and I'm sure you do, Chris, too, even from some of my own parishioners. Of course, I don't like abortion, but I have to say I'm a Catholic who is pro-choice. So I'm saying to any person listening to this program or watching this program, You say you're Catholic and you say you're pro-choice. So good counsel homes and people like Chris Bell say, well, if you really support the choice, there are a whole lot of people out there who made the choice not to terminate, but to have their baby. If you mean what you say about being both Catholic and pro-choice, one of the choices would be to give life and to support those who help people to give life. So I'm saying to everybody who identifies out there as I'm both Catholic and pro-choice, put your money and your time where your mouth is. If you're really for the right to choose and someone chooses to have the baby and there are places like Good Counsel Homes and people like Chris Bell who help a woman to have the baby and to support the baby, then you're a fraud unless you're willing to say, I support the full choice, which is for those who have the child. So I'm saying to people out there right now who call themselves Catholic and pro-choice, then again, prove it. Chris, for those who want to help what you do and homes like yours, what can anybody do to help the great work of places like Good Counsel Homes?
Well, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on X, and you know, share the message online and off. Good Counsel, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, Homes with an S at the end of it, .org, Good Counsel Homes. And you can find us under that and all the other social media, not only to support us, but begin to look at what's locally near you, wherever mm-hmm. you are, maternity homes, pregnancy centers. And if you're a person of faith, start praying. And Joan, her last words before being taken away were, tell people, pray and do what God wants. And that's what you can do.
And she's doing it, and you do it too, Chris. I'm so blessed. Not even a mile away from my parish is the Life Center of Long Island. And just there, as Chris says, there are places locally that are offering real choice. And for our listeners and viewers, please, you know, people close down on this issue of life. They don't even want to talk about it. But we are talking about it because every day moms out there have to make decisions and we want to offer them a real choice for life. So Chris Bell, thank you for being with us and personally speaking again. Thank you for your life. And I know you always, you know, do the humble Chris Bell thing, but the heck with that, Chris. I love what you do and I love the choices you've made. And I thank you so much for your witness and for your faith. And we're all praying for Joan and loving Joan and those who are with her for standing up for life. Thanks to Chris Bell and Good Counsel Homes for being with us on Personally Speaking.
God bless you, Monsignor.
I want to thank you for being with us on Personally Speaking. If you need to reach me for any reason, you can write me at personallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. You probably listen to this program on the Catholic Channel, Channel 129. You can also watch us on YouTube at Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lusanti. I'm privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jandovitz. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking.